able to take some little journeys into the Old Testament and see them from a Hebrews 11 perspective. So first we looked at some things in the life of Moses. We got to see the Passover, and then we got to see the people going through the Red Sea. And now the next thing they mention here in verse 11, verse 30, it says, "By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days." So we get to take another little glimpse into the Old Testament and see what God did through the faith of Israel at the walls of Jericho. So let's pray. Lord, I pray for your wisdom and for your encouragement, for your presence tonight. We thank you for your word and pray you'll use it in our lives now to teach and grow us. In Christ's name, amen. So we'll be in Joshua 6 this time. We were in Exodus for the past two Old Testament glimpses, but tonight we jumped ahead to Joshua chapter 6, where we read about Israel finally going into the Promised Land. The reason why there's such a gap there from early Exodus to early Joshua is because that's the time of the wandering in the desert, 40 years of wandering. But God jumped ahead here in Hebrews 11, straight from last week where they crossed through the Red Sea, right into the Promised Land. So we just jumped 40 years. And the former generation has all died in the desert. Those that were under 20 years old have now grown up and are now ready to go into the Promised Land. And that brings us up to Joshua 6, verse 1. "Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, See, I have given into thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor." So remember, we're looking at Jericho from a New Testament faith perspective. And God told Israel, "I've already given you Jericho." Now, he told them, "I've already given you the Promised Land." And now he says, "I've already given you Jericho." And as you know, after Jericho, that was the last city that they miraculously were able to take. After that, they had to fight for every city. The Promised Land for us represents the Christian life. And when we first get saved, That's the pictured in the Red Sea. When we first get saved, that was pictured through the Passover. The Red Sea was picturing the baptism, because the Bible even says that they were baptized in the Red Sea. So the Passover is the salvation. The Red Sea is baptism. And now the victorious Christian life. But God says there's so many things that I've already given you. And it's true for us as Christians as well. There are so many things that are already ours if we'll just take them. But we have to take them by faith. We have to trust God, obey God, do what God asks us to do, and take these many, many things that God has already promised us. Now, we all know, if you go to Luke 15, we all know that we already have heaven, which is a real blessing. We don't have to earn it. We don't have to wonder if heaven's ours. Heaven's ours. If we're saved, we're going to heaven. But notice here in Luke 15, now most of you are familiar with this parable of the prodigal son. But here in the end of the chapter, the father is speaking unto the brother of the prodigal son. We don't hear much about him, but he had a bit of an attitude problem. But look what he says to the brother who stayed behind and served. Verse 31, he said unto him, "Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine." Now, in this parable, we know that the father pictures our heavenly father, and the two sons picture two sons. One who was faithful, one who tried to run away from God and then came home. That's why it's called the prodigal son. So the Christian that stayed faithful, God says, "I have so much for you. All that I have is thine." So many blessings that I can give you if you'll just be a faithful son. And that's what God is saying to Israel. You already have it. Jericho's yours. I've given it to you as a gift. Now, the walls haven't fallen down yet. They haven't gone in and taken it yet. But God says it's already yours. I can guarantee you we're going to get to heaven and we're going to find out there was a lot that God would have given us if we would have taken it by faith. But we were too timid. We were too disobedient, whatever. And we didn't take those things that were ours. So let's go back there to Joshua 6, where God then goes on to say that I'm going to give it to you, but it's going to be different this time how you take it. Verse 3, you shall compass the city, and all ye men of war, and go around about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And the 7th day you shall compass the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow with the trumpet. So 7 priests, 7 trumpets, 7 days, and 7 times on the 7th day. A few sevens in there. If you hadn't guessed, 7 is God's perfect number. We learned that in Revelation. But this was, let's face it, this is different. Yeah, they're going to have to go and conquer the city, but God's going to knock the walls down, as we know. But he says, I'm not going to knock the walls down until you what? Obey my specific instructions. Doesn't God say to us, there's many walls that I'm willing to knock down for you if you obey my specific instructions? We all know what God wants from us. The Bible's very clear. Are we obeying? Are we walking a life of obedience? Because God's got some walls he'll knock down for us if we obey. And this is what he said. It wasn't that the marching around the city caused the walls to fall down. We all understand that, right? The trumpets didn't make the wall fall down. The marching didn't make the wall fall down. The shouting didn't make the walls fall down. What made the walls fall down? God. Right? So why go through all of this? Why go around the city 7 times for 7 days? 7th day, go around 7 times. Why have 7 priests blowing 7 trumpets? Why? Because God said so. What else do we need? Amen? Because God said, this is the way I want it done. 7's my perfect number. I want you to do this specific thing, this specific way. And if you'll obey me, look what I'm going to do for you. And God says the same to us as Christians. So Joshua even had a part. It says in verse 5, it shall come to pass that when they shall make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up every man straight before him. So everybody had their part. We have the ram's horns. We have Joshua as the leader. We have the people all shouting. Everybody did their thing. And God says, and then I'm going to knock down the wall. Well, God wants every Christian to be involved in serving him. Not just some. Not just the leaders. Everybody. But it says that the wall shall fall down flat, not because of the people, but because God in his power is going to break down the walls. Now, if you go to 1 Corinthians 10, if you think about it, we face a lot of temptations. We face a lot of trials. We face barriers in our Christian lives. And often we face these walls, and what our desire is that God will break them down. And God says, I will. The only condition is what? Obedience. That's it. Obedience. 1 Corinthians 10:13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But look what it says. God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. So God says, you're going to have temptations. He didn't say, if you get saved, I will protect you from temptation. You won't have to face any. He didn't say that, did he? He says, but what I will do is when you face the temptation, I'll make a way to escape. I'll protect you from succumbing to the temptation. I'm not going to protect you from facing them, but I'm going to give you a way to escape. That's how God works. Jericho had walls around it. They were supposed to take the city. God said, I'll knock down the walls, you go in and take the city. And that's how it works for us as Christians. The Bible says, if God be for us, who can be against us? Amen. So the key in the whole thing was obedience. If you go back to our passage, the people, nobody asked why, nobody complained, nobody murmured, which is kind of odd for Israel, as we know. They just did what God told them to do, which is, again, kind of rare, isn't it? Verse 6, Joshua the son of Nun called the priests, said unto them, take up the ark of the covenant, and let seven priests bear seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord. And he said unto the people, pass on, encompass the city, and let him that is armed pass on before the ark of the Lord. And if you read on through down to verse 15, they did exactly what God told them to do. They followed the instructions to the letter. They went around the city once a day for 6 days. On the seventh day, they went around seven times, and the seven priests blew the seven trumpets, and the people shouted. And what happened? The walls fell down. God has a lot of blessings He wants to give us, a lot of Jerichos. There's a lot of walls in the way. What is God asking? Obedience. Verse 16, it says, and it came to pass, at the seventh time, when the priests blew the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. Isn't that beautiful? The Bible says, by faith, there in Hebrews 11, the walls of Jericho fell down. So it was the people, when you think about it, by faith, so did the walls fall down, because the people had amazing faith. Think about it. Or did the walls fall down because the people obeyed God's instructions? Well, it's the second one, isn't it? So that's the faith. You know, we often talk about how love is action. So is faith. Faith is obeying. Faith is believing. Faith is going forward and trusting God that He'll work miracles in our lives. And when God tells us to do something, do it. That's faith. That's trusting. Like we talked Sunday, faith. It takes faith to give God, when people attack us or hurt us, to say, vengeance is God's. I'll just pray for that person and leave it in God's hands. That's faith. But you're doing something, aren't you? When you give your tithe, you're doing something, but that's a step of faith. They did something. They marched around just like God said, and they blew their trumpets and they shouted. They did everything exactly as God said. And in the New Testament, it says, by faith, the walls fell down. So God knocked the walls down, but why? Because they stood there and had amazing faith? No, because they obeyed. And so oftentimes we think of faith as this out there mystical thing that we just can't get a grasp on. No, it's obedience. In the New Testament, the disciples came to Jesus one day and said, increase our faith. We looked at that recently. And then Jesus told a parable about a servant who came in from serving in the fields. And he says, after he's finished working all day, is his master going to say, oh, thank you so much. Let me wash your feet and let me serve you dinner. No, he's going to say, you serve me dinner. You're the one that's been working in the field all day. Now serve me dinner because I'm your master and you're my servant. And he told that whole parable in answer to their question, increase our faith. So think about that. Obedience. Obedience. I believe that Jesus has so much for us if we'll just go forward by faith and obedience. One last verse in this chapter before we jump back to the New Testament. Notice verse 24. And they burnt the city with fire and all that was therein. Only the silver and the gold and the vessels of brass and of iron they put into the treasury, the house of the Lord. So they burnt everything except what you can't burn, which is these precious metals. And what does that teach us? That the only thing that's going to survive are the treasures we lay up in heaven. The gold, silver, precious stones. That's all that's going to survive the fiery judgment of Jesus Christ. that we read about in 1 Corinthians 3. Okay, now let's go to John 10 and we'll be finished. This is just a reminder that Jesus came to die and rise again for us and give us eternal life. But after we get eternal life, look what Jesus came to give us. John 10:10. The Bible says, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." I'm not just coming to give them life, eternal life. I'm coming to give them abundant life. And God has an abundant life ready for every Christian. There's a Jericho for every Christian who will obey. Because that's faith. And that was Luke 17, by the way, if you're taking notes, that parable. I didn't tell you that. But the parable is Luke 17. I'll give you the reference. Where they said, increase our faith, that's verses 5 down through verse 10 of Luke 17, for those of you taking notes. It finishes by saying, Luke 17:10, likewise ye, when you shall have done all those things which are commanded, you say, we're unprofitable servants, we've done that which was our duty to do. That was his answer to increase our faith. Think about what that's saying. Faith is serving God, obeying God. And when we do, he blesses us. Let's pray.